So I get the honor of kicking off Advent. I'm pretty excited about it. I love Christmas time, and I'm actually going to just share a little story. Oh, signing up to Facebook right now. Sorry about that. Just think back when you were younger, okay? Like that, those age 12, age 13, maybe age 10. Those games that you would play in your neighborhood sometime, where it become like this neighborhood game of hide and seek. You know what I mean? Like it's everyone's on board, and the sun has already set, and it's getting a little darker, and the stakes are getting higher because it's harder to find people, and you start teaming up, and it becomes sort of like this campaign of us against you. I remember playing these games. I have three brothers, so there's four boys, and we get the neighborhood kids together, and I remember playing these games, and we get walkie-talkies, so one team would have the walkie-talkies, and another team wouldn't, and they're trying to hide and get closer to the garage, and we're looking for them, and we're hunting them down, and we're going to find them, and sometimes they would go farther away. And so I remember we had this system of, with our walkie-talkies, like there'd be someone on the roof of the garage. Sorry, Dad, you had to hear that. They'd be on the roof of the garage, scouting everything, and they'd have their walkie-talkie, and they'd be saying things, you know, and someone would be farther, like halfway to the farthest range of that we're allowed to go on the boundaries, right? And the walkie-talkie still works, you know. It's like crackling. Yeah, I hear you. Come in. Where you think you see them over there behind the bush? Okay, I'm going over that way, you know. And we figured out that we had two sets of walkie-talkies. Is this working or is this going in and out? Yeah, kind of. Okay. You just tell me if I need to stay still, Ryan. Okay, thank you. Anyways, with two sets of walkie-talkies, that we could do like a relay system of passing the messages down. So one person would be up on the garage, and there'd be someone over here at the range of the walkie-talkie, and then there'd be someone over here with a different walkie-talkie who could hear the middle guy. And this is getting passed down the line, and we're looking for people. And I just remember these games just being so exhilarating, and then you get the call, okay, time to come in, you know. You're kind of like, ah, that was epic, you know. And now I learn as a parent on the other side of it. Parent, you're sitting in the house, and you're like, oh, it's so quiet right now. Oh, I hope they don't hurt themselves. You know. I want us to take some time to talk about Christmas this morning. I don't know what gets you excited about Christmas. There's so many things going on. I remember my first Christmas where I was in love. I was in love with Shauna, and we knew right away. We knew right away. We'd only been dating a few months, and it was our first Christmas, and I didn't want to blow it. And so I'm listening to the things that she's saying, what she's talking about, what does she want, what does she desire. And I heard her talk about, oh, she loved like one of those like black petticoats or whatever they're called. And I don't know what it's called, it's the wrong word. She's laughing at me. Everyone's laughing at me. But one of those black wool coats, I don't know, they're warm. They're nice. And anyways, she wanted one of those. And I remember looking and we went and tried some on at different times, and I think she might have known that I was kind of paying attention. I don't know. But anyways, I worked it out so that somehow I found the coat that she wanted, and I got it. And I had this coat, and my insecurities of, well, is this enough? Maybe this is like one of those weird gifts. Like, do you buy your girlfriend a winter coat? That's not very romantic. What do I need to do? So I'm thinking, oh, Dad gets my mom jewelry at Christmas. Maybe I'll get some jewelry. So I remember going, and I went to the jewelers and looking and finding, and I found this bracelet, and it was special and cost more than the coat. But I was like, it's okay. I'm gonna get the bracelet because then she'll know that yeah, I'm serious. It's just not like I want to keep her warm, but I want her to be happy, you know. And I get these things at home, and I'm kind of like, oh no, what did I do? I bought her a coat and a bracelet, but man, like, I'm going to scare her. This is too much. And So I keep thinking, I'm like, well, maybe there's something else I can get that can downplay it all or something. And anyways, I remember her talking about, this was before Bath and Body Works was available in Canada, and she really liked this lotion from Bath and Body Works. And I had friends who were going to Seattle, and there was one there, and I'm like, hey, can you get this special hand lotion for me? And they're like, yeah, sure, we'll get it. And so they got the hand lotion for me, and then I'm like, okay, I got the hand lotion special for her, and a coat, and a bracelet. I hope she doesn't dump me, you know? But we do that. We get all worked up sometimes, and we're excited about it, and we want to do something, or we find the perfect gift for that person, and we're like, oh, they're going to love it. This is going to be so good. And then there's those people on our list who are just like, what am I going to get him? I do not know. And you just spend hours walking, and you're like looking, you look at the clearance shelf over and over because you're like, I don't want to spend more than $3 on this person. And you're looking, and you're going back and forth, and you're trying, like, I got to figure this out. There's got to be something here. And like, no, okay. So you're going over there, and you're looking, and you just spend hours, and you're trying to find the deal, and you can't find the deal, and so you got to spend money, and I don't know. It takes so much effort, so much time. And then I put some other pictures up there of things we do. I mean, the Black Friday deal, that just happened, right? Like, I don't know about you, but like, I'm a flyer junkie. Like, I can just spend hours going over flyers and like trying to find the right deal. And I don't even want to buy anything. And I'm just want to keep the knowledge or something. And so, I mean, this year I really tried to stay away from Black Friday flyers and stuff. Like, I didn't really want to know. I didn't spend a lot of time in there. Or the stress of making things look a certain way. The Christmas cookies and getting the decorations just right on the cookies. I mean, like, which is kind of crazy. And I know for some of you that's really, really important. And you got to get the icing right and the little things on there just right. Like, it's okay. You're wired like that. God made you like that. That's okay. But the truth is, in like 3 seconds, that cookie's gone if you give it to me. Like, it's gone. And I'm not going to notice if it's crooked. I won't. I'm sorry. So the other thing I'm trying to say, if that's you and you mess up a batch of cookies, just give them to me. I'll take care of them for you. No problem, okay? No judgment. But or there's these parties that we got to go to or other commitments and things we got to do and we're going all over the place. And things start to happen. And I don't know if you knew this, but in Canada alone, on Christmas, we spend up to $35 billion during November and December. That's a lot of money. A lot of money. Then we come to church on Sundays. We hear the Advent reading. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. There's a big disconnect there sometimes, isn't there? And I think even in the church, I mean, gifts aren't bad. Gifts, I'm not saying, none of those things that we're talking about are bad things. But where's our focus? What's going on? Almost 10 years ago, we heard of this thing called the Advent Conspiracy, Shauna and I. And it was one of those things that, it just talked about that disconnect. I introduced a video a couple weeks ago. I have another video that I should like to show that sort of talks more about the reason behind the Advent Conspiracy. I hope it works for you. Thank you. I think you get the idea. Just make sure it doesn't start later. So the Advent conspiracy, they said, let's focus on four things about Christmas. Spend less, give more, love all, worship fully. Now, the idea behind it isn't that it's trying to motivate you to feel guilty about how you celebrate Christmas or what you do about Christmas, but rather it's recognizing that really probably a lot of us, if not most of us, feel a little busy, a little rushed during the Christmas holiday season. And so instead of saying, okay, all of that's bad, but rather asking, well, what is Christmas about? What is the important thing? Why do we celebrate it? This morning, I just want to unpack two ideas very briefly. The spend less, I don't think I need to convince anyone that we probably spend too much money at Christmas. I think, I don't need to spend time. We're all Mennonites here, right? No. The give more is what I'd like to take a little more time to talk about. How do you give more with spending less? I mean, it sounds like sometimes that's impossible. But so often we think of giving as something that we have to do financially. There's other ways to give. For example, with Shauna, instead of lavishing all those gifts on her, I could have spent time with her. I could have done things to show her love in other ways that didn't cost me money. And I've learned some of those things over the years, and she often encourages me to do those because she enjoys those more. The other thing about the give more is, this is a verse that we talk about this past month in youth. We've been talking about light in Scripture and how the idea of light, there's a lot of meaning in there. And one of the verses that came up was in Psalms 119:105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And if God's word really is that, what would Christmas look like? What should it look like? If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Before we maybe get into it, reading it, remember that this is like, these are real people involved. This is Joseph. And just think of Joseph and what's going on, okay? He's pledged to be married to Mary, right? He's a good guy. We're going to read that about in Scripture. He also loves God. He wants to respect the law and the things that are required of him. But he's also a really nice guy. So he doesn't want to embarrass Mary. He's figured out that she's pregnant. Think of those feelings, those emotions that would be going on. Men. The person you love. And you want to spend the rest of your life together with. Maybe she told you that, hey, guess what? God says I'm going to have a baby, and I'm expecting. Or maybe you're noticing, and you're like, this is ridiculous. What's going on? It says it's just God did this? Probably be a lot of rage or anger, or I don't know. The fact that Joseph is, we have this account, is pretty cool. So let's just read it. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. I have different words on the screen, sorry. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary and Joseph had promised to get married. But before they started to live together, it became clear that she was going to have a baby. She became pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph was faithful to the law, But he did not want to put her to shame in public. So he planned to divorce her quietly. But as Joseph was thinking about this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. The angel said, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. The baby inside her is from the Holy Spirit. She is going to have a son. You must give him the name Jesus. That is because he will save his people from their sins." Could you imagine? Like, boom! Seriously. All this took place to bring about what the Lord had said would happen. He had said through the prophet, "The virgin is going to have a baby. She will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel." The name Emmanuel means God with us. Joseph woke up. He did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him to do. He took Mary home as his wife, but he did not sleep with her until she gave birth to a son. And Joseph gave him the name Jesus. One of the things, how I picture this, is Joseph is faithful to the law. He knows the law. He knows Scripture. He probably knows the passage in Isaiah, the prophecy that is talked about. Because this is a time where the Jewish nation is longing for the Messiah to come. There's been rumors of it. There's been talk. And people are just tired of this yoke of oppression. The government, the Romans being on top of them and oppressing them. They wanted freedom in their own nation. The virgin is going to have a baby and she will give birth to a son, Isaiah 7 says. And he will be called Emmanuel. God with us. And after Joseph wakes from his dream, he goes and he does it. He obeys. Isn't that encouraging or exciting? I don't know. Maybe it's just, maybe you're still down here thinking, okay, if that's me in that situation, this is too hard to believe. How am I going to do this? Okay, an angel came to me in my sleep. Maybe I just drank some bad goat's milk or something. I don't know. You know, like, there's a lot of things that you would wrestle through in trying to believe this. But I don't doubt as he starts to ponder, okay, God, well, what is this? You know, how's this supposed to happen? This miracle baby is coming to rescue your people. Is this the Messiah? Has to be the Messiah. And doesn't it say that it's going to be born of a virgin? Well, Mary is a virgin. She's saying this is from you, that she's never been with a guy. Think of that in your own life, of how you have these moments where, and I've talked about this before, where God intersects with you. Like it's like a divine moment. I've had only a few of them in my life where it's like, okay, some that I didn't even know. This one moment I remember God just saying, actually no, it was a student's mom, sorry, phoned me and was like, you need to talk to my son. Now this family didn't go to church, didn't go to our church, didn't go to any church, but just phoned and said, "Hey, I know my son has come to youth a few times and he stopped going. But he's starting to date a Mormon girl and it's looking like it's getting really serious. And I need you to go talk to him about Mormonism." And I remember just like, okay, sure, whatever. And give him a call. Hey, can we meet? And so we went and we sat down. And I remember we ordered like a plate of wings and we're sitting eating wings and we're just talking about this. Things that he's feeling. Some of the things about Mormonism, what they believe, and how it's different than what Christianity believes. I remember gave him a few pamphlets and some books to read. And because he wasn't really involved or I didn't have much overlap with him. I didn't know if I was making any sense to him, if he cared. I don't know. At the same time, I'm still kind of shocked that his mom called. Well, quite a few years later, he got married, but he didn't get married to a Mormon girl. He got married to a Christian girl. And he had gone to Bible school for a few years. Somehow, through that conversation, God used it. It was one of those divine moments that was a turning point in his life. And it wasn't because of me or anything I did or say. It was because of the Holy Spirit at work. And I remember being at his wedding, and I actually got to be his best man, which is crazy. And his mom coming up to me and just saying, "Thank you for calling him that day. That just has made the biggest difference." And now this guy, he's actually a youth pastor at a church, and he has a phenomenal ministry. But I didn't know that was going to happen. But we have these moments where I believe God intersects with our life. Like, he comes to us. And it's like, what do you want to do about this? So I would sort of submit to you that the way we do Christmas, or I would say the way the world has embraced Christmas and has sort of changed Christmas into this big something, I would submit to you that we probably have bought that. I've bought that. I've done it. But I think God coming to us, his example of giving relationally, of saying, "Hey, I'm coming here. This is costing me time." In the reading that Elaine read, right? Jesus felt these real things. It wasn't easy for him. It wasn't just like, "Yeah, I'll just knock this one out of the park." You know? He felt all these real pains that we feel and experience. But he gave relationally, and he came, and he came, and it was a man. And he walked with people, and he lived life with people, and he hung out with them. And it wasn't like hanging out with him, he was like, "Hey, Peter," like give him a little zap of something, and like Peter was different. That's not how it was. Peter just hung out with him and saw him. He saw him go daily and spend time in prayer with God the Father. He saw Jesus stand up for things that was wrong and saying, "This isn't wrong. This isn't right. This is wrong." Or pointing out things that, man, the way you're worshiping is actually becoming more of like this to-do list than this actual relationship with God the Father. So I can't help but ask, how are we doing with Christmas? How are you doing with Christmas? How's your family doing with Christmas? My initial question of, can Christmas still change the world? I believe Christmas can change the world. I believe that we're asked to do some things different at Christmas time. And I'm not going to tell you what that is. I think it's going to be different for everyone. I think maybe this year you'll change just a little bit, and maybe next year you'll change a little different, or I don't know, you'll try different things out. A couple things. One, I would encourage you to plan. I would encourage you to take time today and just say, "Hey, how do we do Christmas?" If you're a single person, just go out, have a cup of coffee or hot chocolate, and say, "Okay, God, Jesus, it's you and me right now. How do I do Christmas? What's important to me?" And then just ask him, "Jesus, is there anything that you want me to do differently?" And make a plan. Families or couples, have a conversation together and just say, "Hey, is there anything we want to do different this year for Christmas?" Because really the idea, the concept behind Advent, this period of time, it's just looking ahead. It's anticipating that day that we remember our Lord was born. And it's looking ahead to that and saying, let's get ready for it. Let's get excited for it. I grew up in a Christian home. I always knew the Advent season. I knew of the Lent season, which is the days before Easter. And about 5 years ago, I took Lent seriously and said, okay, I'm going to do this. You're probably going to laugh and think I wasn't doing it serious. But I'm not going to drink Coke during Lent, okay? You're like, that's really hard, Darren. But it was, what it was for me was this thing where whenever I'd be like, oh, I should go get a Coke, it's like, no, I'm not doing that right now. Why am I not doing that? Because Jesus died for me. And it became this little personal connection time where I was just like, thank you, Jesus. And it was just this moment. And that just happened continually. And so when Easter finally arrived, my heart was different, and it was just a different experience spending that time with God, just reflecting on what He had done for us. And Advent is the same thing. We're looking ahead. We're making a plan. The other thing I would say, I put budget on here. I know budget's part of planning, but I really think sometimes our money gets out of control, and I think we love to give good gifts. When I was buying gifts for Shauna as a single guy, I had no budget. I just charged it and spent, and I wanted her to be happy, right? I don't think that's what God wants us to do. He asks us to live in the means, in what He gives us. So in your planning, okay, what is our budget? How much money do we have? And let's keep our spending inside of that. Another thing is, pray. Pray and talk to God and ask Him, what would He have you to do? On the side, there's a picture of Emery. And this is something we do as a family, is we make this Advent list. And the focus of the list is to love God and to love others. And we just put things down that we want to do as a family. Like one of the things, the first one is build snow forts. The kids are like, we want to build snow forts. And so, okay. And so we'll build a snow fort, and we check it off the list. Sing Christmas carols. Operation Christmas Child Shoebox. It gets hard to read, eh? But reading the Christmas story, there was like making cookies and taking them to someone not in our family. What would Christmas look like for you guys? Our Advent reading was taken from Luke. Now imagine we're all in this big hide and seek game. It's huge. Ephesians 6 says we're in a spiritual battle. One that our eyes can't see. And it's going on all the time. And in this battle, there's this warrior of light, who's Jesus. And He's already won. And He came and He's found you. But the question is, do you want to be found? I really believe Jesus isn't going to force anyone into heaven. He's a gentleman. He's going to say, here, I love you, and I'm willing to get involved in your life and change you to be more like Me. But do you want that? In Isaiah chapter 9, there's this passage, and I like it because it's like this big game going on, okay? The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest. And like warriors dividing the plunder, for you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod, just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. The boots of the warriors and the uniforms bloodstained by war will all be burned. They will be fuel for the fire. For a child is born to us, a son is given. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. His rule, he will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of heaven's armies will make this happen. Worship team, you'll be coming up in just a minute. So we are not lost, and we can all live with a focus. And this Advent season, I pray and hope that you will get ready. For on December 25th, we're going to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior. Thank you.